faith cleared the way into the promised land for the Israelites and the victory that God gave to them because they obeyed by walking around that city for 7 days. Faith saved Rahab because of her kindness and obedience to what the spies told her to do. And today, faith still destroys. Faith still saves. Faith in our lives, as we think about it, destroys the ungodly things that exist within us. Those things that would take us away from God. Faith destroys those things. Faith destroys immorality. Faith destroys hopelessness, sin, apathy, laziness, hatred, violence, and bitterness, and many other things. You know, faith only does this, though, as we listen to God's commands, that we allow them to be put in our minds and written on our hearts. That's our theme this year. We haven't been on that very much because we've been in these textual studies, but putting God's commandments in our minds and writing them on our hearts. And when they are in my mind and in my heart, I must then act upon them. They will come out of me, hopefully, in obedience to what God has said. As we think back about the Israelites, you know, Jericho stood in the way of getting to the promised land that God had brought them to. And there had to be the question of how we're going to get around this fortified city. How are we going to get around this city with this wall? You know, it's been some time. They came to the promised land shortly after leaving Egypt. And the 12 spies went in and without any and exhibited, 10 of them exhibited no faith in God. Said that we are grasshoppers in our sight before these great giant people that are in this land. There's no way we can take it. God just brought us out here to die. And so God said, okay. If that's what you want, that's what you ask for, if that's what you think, then you will. You will spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness and you will die. Everyone but Joshua and Caleb that left over the age of 20. Well, when they heard God's displeasure with what they had said, they suddenly found courage and said, oh no, we can go into the land now. We can do it. We're going to gather up, head in. Most said, no, you're not. Oh yeah, we are. We can do it. And they went into the land and they were defeated, sent back because they could not enter the land of Canaan until God made it possible for them to enter the promised land that He would give to them. This was not something that they could get on their own. You know, by doing what they did, they made the forecast of the 10 spies come true, didn't they? They couldn't stand without faith, without God. You know, they would not enter that land. They would wander for those 40 years in the wilderness. But after 40 years of wandering, here they are now as we think about Jericho. They're back at the border. They're back at the Jordan River now, or they're at the Jordan River now, the border of the land. And they are desiring to enter. And now we see a different people. Those people that were there that day whenever the 10 spies said we can't do it, those people are dead. And these are the children. This is the next generation. And they do trust in God to a greater degree than their forefathers. God tells Joshua what they are to do to take this city. And they trust in God and they march around that city. And you know, there's nothing logical. I love military history. And there's nowhere that I read that it's a good plan to take a city by just walking around it. Never seen that in history. That anyone ever took a city by a military force by just going and walking around it and then one day stopping and screaming at it, right? Doesn't work. So it doesn't make any logical sense from a military standpoint that that fortified city is going to fall just because we walk around it. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. But yet how many times does God do that in the Bible? How many times does God ask man to do something and it doesn't make any logical sense to man, but it's not about the logic, it's about a test of will you do what God says, whether it makes sense to you or not. Naaman, wash in the Jordan River, and your leprosy will be clean. When did the Jordan River become a place where you could get your leprosy clean? And does that make any sense? that leprosy would be cleansed just because you washed in that river. Wash some mud off your eyes, Jesus told a man, and you'll be able to see. But yeah, I've been blind a long time. What's a little mud going to do? It didn't make any sense. You go up to a blind person today and you spit in the dirt, you rub it on their eyes, tell them to go wash in some swimming pool. They're still going to be blind because that doesn't make sense. But will you do it because God says it? I guess the biggest one is baptism. Everything makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, you're not going to be any kind of Christian or any... I mean, even if you carry the logic into the secular world, if you don't believe in what you're doing, you're not going to do it very well. If you're not willing to tell others about what you're doing, you probably don't think much of it. You know, there are things in our lives when we change jobs or we go to a new job, we have to change the way we do some things to fit into the place that we're at. That all corresponds with what we do in belief and confession and repentance. But then you get down to baptism and that one just doesn't make sense. Is there power in the water? No. Do I see anything happen? No. God says, will you do it just simply because I commanded it and get the blessings from it? For every time God made these kind of tests, these illogical tests, as we might call them, He also brought blessings with those that were willing to do it simply because He commanded it. Their obedience was required to destroy that which stood in the way of their getting into the promised land. They had to do it to get past the city. Every person here has, I have and you have, we all have our spiritual Jerichos. Those things in our lives that are standing between us and the promised land, those things that we're going to have to, by faith, overcome, by faith, by doing what God says, conquer them so that we can get to where God wants us to be, to get to our land that flows with milk and honey. So we're going to have to face those, but we have to face those in faith. And let faith and God's will and what and that will and obedience in our lives destroy those Jerichos that lie between us and the promised land. If we do what God has commanded, we will conquer them with faith. This is what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about these kinds of obstacles in our lives when He talks about in Matthew chapter 5 about cutting off our hands and plucking out our eyes, those things that would keep us from being saved, keep us from being what God, getting to where God wants us to be. We've got to get rid of those things. We've got to conquer those things. Conquer them with God. Because we can't conquer them on our own, no more than the Israelites could conquer the land of Canaan without God. We head off on our own, and we think we can do it on our own, like Peter so often did, then we will find ourselves defeated, just like Peter, just like the children of Israel, as they tried to take the land without God's blessing. You know, we need to work with people to build the faith necessary as well to destroy difficult things in their lives. Sometimes we in the church, I believe we're awfully quick sometimes just to push people away. You know, someone's in an adulterous relationship or someone's in, you know, struggling with some particular sin. And maybe some of these things are very difficult decisions for people to make. They may have to sacrifice some things that are very hard. And sometimes we don't take enough time to think about that. Hard decisions, difficult decisions of faith will only be made by people that have a strong enough faith to make them. But oftentimes these people are weak in the faith. And we need to understand that. We need to look at that and see that and make that assessment and say, we need to help this person build their faith so they can make the tough choices, so that they can destroy their Jerichos. Because sometimes people's faith just isn't there. But our job is to build faith, a stronger faith. And so we need to be careful. When we look at individuals and that we give them some time sometimes and through teaching and working and encouraging by us, that they can build faith to make the hard choices that have to be made as we face these Jerichos in our lives. So faith still destroys. It destroys the things that could keep us out of heaven. Faith also saves us still. It saves us from the destruction that will ultimately come upon the ungodly. You know, Rahab was saved because of her obedience. Joshua chapter 2, you know, they said, you know, she didn't tell. She did everything they said. Don't tell. Gather your family into your house and tie a scarlet thread, this scarlet thread, they gave it to her. You tie this scarlet thread in the window that you lowered us out of when you, number one, you protected us, you hid us, and then you got us out of the city as well. But you tie this cord and you gather in your house, and when the attack comes, your family will be spared. So they told her to do those things, and she did those things, and she was saved because of it. Even when the battle commenced, Joshua sent the two spies to her house that they might bring her and all that she had out during the battle. Now, we need to trust what God says. Why would Rahab? I know Rahab said, "We've seen what y'all have done, and I believe you're going to take the land." But it took faith on Rahab's part to do this, to trust that what these guys said was true. Because if she didn't have a certain amount of trust in what these guys were saying, I mean, she's on the walls. If the attack comes, she's going to be in the middle of it, isn't she? And so if she didn't believe what these spies said and has faith in what they said and trust in what they said, it would have been better for her to warn the city. See, she didn't tell. She didn't warn them. And so we see a level of trust in her that these guys will keep her alive when the attack does come. And, you know, as we go through our lives in faith, we need to understand that our faith is not just about some kind of acknowledgement of God, but it is a trusting God, a dependence upon Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we think about that term, faithful and just. God will do it. There is nothing that God has ever said He was going to do that He didn't do. God cannot lie. What He says, He will do. And we need to trust in that. And when we trust in that, we're going to see that it's going to open up new strength for us in our faith. We'll be able to endure a lot more things if we just trust that God will do the things that He's promised in the Bible. God has made it clear that if we live in obedient faith, He will save us. You know, the inextricable tie of faith and obedience is certainly seen in James chapter 2. That's where we always go. You know, faith without works is dead. And there's no doubt about that. You can't say that scripture is saying anything but. But John chapter 3 and verse 36 is another one that I like a great deal, maybe one a little less known, where it says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So we see here that obedience, or disobedience in this particular case, is the opposite of belief. And so belief is obviously tied to obedience. If you do not believe, you will not obey. If you do believe, you will obey. That's the implication in the verse. And see, that's the same thing you're going to have to tie to John chapter 3 and verse 16. He that believeth in... You know, I did this last Sunday night. Something about Sunday nights and quoting verses. And especially John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Why should they not perish? Because if they believe, they should obey. That's why. Because belief is more than some kind of mental assent. Well, all throughout this chapter, as we have seen, is the phrase, "by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith." And folks, every one of us should be living every day of our lives by faith. And that is to do something and to live our lives according to as God has commanded. To be obedient. By faith, Noah built an ark. Why? Because God told him to. By faith, Abraham left. Why? Because God told him to. You know, by faith, Rahab was saved. Why? Because she was told what to do to be preserved by God. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4, as we think about trusting and living by faith, you know, I love Paul's last words. I mean, He exhorts young Timothy in chapter 4 to preach the word, right? In season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because he says there's going to come a time, and we know these times, when men will not endure, they will not want sound doctrine. Have we seen those days? Do we see those days today? Men will not want sound doctrine, but he says, Timothy, that's all the more reason why you need to preach the word. Just previous to those verses is that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable, right, for us in all these ways that we might be perfect, thoroughly furnished under every good work. And he says, preach it. Why? Because God gave it. And we are to do that. But I love when he comes down and Paul is here addressing as he's nearing the end of his life and he's talking to this young man that he calls his son in the faith. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Then I want you to note that he says in the future, verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. Let me tell you what, if you can't wait to see Jesus in the air, if you'll love the moment that He pops into the air and the angels there with Him, if you love that moment and you're looking for that moment, you're hastening that moment like Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, then this applies to you. Because the person not living right, they're not looking forward to this day. It says, all those that love His appearing. But I want you to note something. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. He says, in the future, there is laid up. He doesn't go, I hope there is. And maybe there is. Paul has total and complete trust in the Lord. There is a crown of righteousness. I'm disturbed sometimes when I ask members, are you saved? And they go, I hope so. Better know so. Paul didn't go, I think I fought the good fight. I hope I've finished the course. Maybe I've kept the faith. No, he knew his life, and you know your life, and I know my life, and we know whether we're doing the things that God would have us to do. We should be able to say with all certainty and trust that we've done those things. And if we have, then we can have certainty that there is a crown of righteousness for us. Trust. Faith brings that to our lives, and it saves us. So tonight, if we think about these things, do you have a faith that destroys? Not other people, but a faith that destroys those things between you and God. Faith that destroys those weaknesses that would lead you away from Christ. A faith that destroys those sinful things that can keep you from reaching the promised land. Faith that can destroy your Jericho. Do you have a faith that destroys? You know, there's a difference in dealing with temptation. There is informative, and then there's combative, right? And we see that in Eve and Jesus. Now, Eve, just like Jesus, gave a, it is written, right? Now, God didn't write it, but He asked about the tree. She told Him what God said about the tree. That's an it is written. You know, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. She gave the it is written. But she was just being informative. It wasn't really a combative situation. When Jesus gave and it is written, it was to destroy the sin, destroy the temptation. He was combative with those temptations. And our Jerichos are going to be in the forms of temptations. May we be combative to take them and destroy them with God's holy will. So do you have a faith that destroys? And also tonight, do you have a faith that saves? Because it is a faith that obeys. If you do not, now is the time. We must not delay, for we are not promised a moment or a day or any amount of time that Jesus may come back. If you're not living that kind of faith this evening, we hope and pray that you'll make the decision to do so. If it is to become a child of God, you want to obey the gospel in faith, believing in Jesus Christ, and that belief is going to lead you right into obedience because you can't take them, separate them from each other. Believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, choose to live as God would have you to live. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon that confession, obey the command by God to be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Rise up with the blessings of God upon you as His child. And to walk a life of faith. A faith that destroys and a faith that saves. This evening, if you're a member of the Lord's church, and maybe your faith has not been combative against those things that are in your life. Maybe you've let things exist in your life that shouldn't be there. Take the faith that God has given to you. Take His Word that can build faith and combat those things. Do what you need to do. Do what God has commanded you. And your Jerichos will fall before you because God will enable it to happen. We can assist you in that. We can encourage you. We want to do that. Won't you come this evening as we stand and as we sing.